You're listening to Witch Wednesdays, a semi-weekly podcast source for all things witchcraft in the modern world. Join your host, Steph, on Wednesday mornings to chat about seasons, Sabbats, and all new witchcraft topics to help you make your life more magical. Welcome back to Witch Wednesdays. I'm Steph, and I have a guest here with me today and a fellow podcaster. I'm going to turn it over to her so she can introduce herself and let you know where you can find her online, and then we will get into our chat.
Hello, my name is Nicole Frolic, and I consider myself a practical mystic, and you can find me on all social media, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, basically my name, Nicole Frolic. And of course, my website is NicoleFrolic.com. So it's pretty easy.
Oh, that is very convenient to have it set up that way.
I like simple and clean.
So let's start then with that. What does that mean to you to be a practical mystic? And how did you get to this point that you're at in your life?
I've been on the spiritual journey since I was 17, and I've been fascinated with so many aspects of it through utilizing spiritual concepts and energy in healing first, but then throughout my meditation process and so on. And one of the things that I've noticed with the spiritual journey, and anyone who's really diving deep into it and wanting to learn more and wanting to embrace it all, which it's such a beautiful, mysterious experience and journey, is that sometimes you can get really lost in the ethers and you can get really ungrounded and you can lose sight of the fact that you are a human being in a human body having a human experience. And if you chose to come here to this planet Earth, you meant to do the work here and now. And doing the work in your human body is the most powerful work you can do. And so, yes, that doesn't mean that you can't utilize the quantum field and everything around you. But in order for you to really maximize what you can do here, you have to be willing to ground all of your spiritual knowledge and teachings and concepts and everything that you've learned along the way through action, through everything that is relevant in this reality. And when you can do that, then you are like really leveling up your game. And so one of the things that a lot of people, like a lot of my clients have told me, is like, they've actually coined me a practical mystic. I didn't give myself that name. They did. And so I'm like, I'll happily take that. And I think it's just because I really believe in giving people an actual tool or plan or something that they can follow to really take the quantum and ground it into this here and now.
At what point in your own spiritual journey, because, you know, I've been doing this for a long time too, and we were both teenagers, and it's like, you know, things have come a long way since then. At one point, did you feel like you were ready or wanted to offer everything that you learned to other people to help them do the same?
Oh, very early, like in my early 20s, but it didn't start with what I'm doing now. So I started off as a massage therapist. And so I started in my very early 20s doing that. And I knew that I just wanted to help people heal. And what happened is, while yes, massage therapy works on the physical body, a lot of my clients, this was the most bizarre thing that I couldn't wrap my head around at the age of 23. I just found people would start opening up to me and telling me their life story and divulging secrets and like things that they were ashamed of and didn't tell anyone else. And, you know, it could be their first time on the table with me. And I'm like, wow, what's going on here? And so I, at 23, I had 40 and 50 year olds asking me about marriage advice. And I was like, who am I to give marriage advice at 23? But I would just say my perspective or my opinion. And they're like, oh, how do you know that? Where did you get that? And I've started my healing journey, my self-healing journey at 20. And so I've continuing it still to this day. And I also think I came in with a certain level of remembrance of past lives and awareness that it, to me, it just seemed natural. And this has been my whole life. Even when I was in elementary school, people would just come to me and ask me for advice or help. And so I somehow just naturally draw people towards me for that. And so I knew by the age of 25 that I wanted to get into more coaching, really on a more soul level that really could take the healing that I'm offering to a deeper level. But it took me 15 years, almost 16, 17 years before I really valued myself enough to say, you know what? I don't have a coaching certificate. I don't have a degree behind me, but I have a crap ton of experience and stuff that I've learned in my own healing journey that I know can help others. And I've been helping them all the time this way anyway. So why not start now? So it's kind of always been there in the background, but I made it official right around like 39, 40.
I love that because it is difficult to make that switch because there's always that imposter syndrome where you feel like even though you've done so much and learned so much that it's not enough and you're not good enough and there's other people out there that are better than what you have to offer. And that's hard, especially, you know, later after you've already had one career and then you're switching mm-hmm. something else. That is, there's so much struggle there.
Oh yeah. And I mean, it's like, it was so easy because I was so good at massage therapy. I mean, at one point I had moved down to the Cayman Islands and I literally had people who would fly into the island just to get a massage from me. And I don't know if it was just because I also had my Reiki. And so I was also doing a lot of energetic healing on top of that, but it was so comfortable and easy for me and I could do well, but it was exhausting for me. You know, I'd done it for 15 years and that's just a long time in massage therapy. And at some point I had to like say to myself, are you just going to stay comfortable or are you going to finally do what you know you've been here to do the whole time?
Well, it's an exciting transition for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
For people who are listening, who are not familiar with their work and are listening to your voice and deciding that this is awesome, what can they expect from your podcast and all of your guided meditations? Because you have so many.
Oh my God. A lot of the meditations are behind a wall in my Alchemy program, which is a private community of people who are looking for their soul family, just, you know, kindred spirits, people that they can like open up to and are not going to feel weird or feel like people are judging them for all the stuff that we love to explore on the spiritual journey. And, but I do have a bunch on my website as well available for download, but my meditations are some of my most prized work. I love to create meditations that will take you on a really deep journey. I choose very specific music, and the way I create the visuals for you is almost like a psychedelic experience. I want you to feel like it's literally happening, and so that your nervous system is rewiring itself through the whole process. So it's almost like there is healing embedded and codes embedded in every meditation that just takes everything to the next level. So my meditations are definitely, I mean, people have physically healed certain things from one listen, listening to them. And then I would say, if you're listening to my podcast, it's called Enlighten Up. And, you know, it started off with just me and a couple friends, and we had one skeptic, and then me and my girlfriend were like total fringe. Like, we loved going all the way to the fringe, like maybe to another universe. And he would make fun of us and we would laugh, and we just don't take ourselves seriously. You know, we would just make fun of each other, but all in good fun. And then we'd talk about different topics. And eventually I had to take it over on my own, and I just have guests on, but I'm very candid. I'm very raw in certain areas. I don't really hold anything back. I express myself exactly as I am. And I encourage my guests to do the same because I want authentic expression. And so I tell my guests before they go live with me, I was like, if you want to swear, swear. If you want to say, like, there is nothing that you can't say on the show. We'll talk about it. We'll discuss it. If we disagree, like, cool, let's talk about it more. But I'm all for like opening up the topics to having a wide range of discussion.
And that sounds really exciting and lovely. And you have very different approaches to your types of content. So I really feel like that there's something for everybody there.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to make it as inclusive as I can. Obviously, you can't please everyone and there's no use trying. But yeah, I try to make it accessible to anyone who's really going on their spiritual journey.
And speaking of the spiritual journey, a big part of what you do in your coaching and your meditations and your Alchemy Academy, everything, is that idea of healing by reclaiming forgotten parts of your soul. What does that mean?
Ooh, okay. So recently, over the last couple of years, I've really gotten into plant medicine. Specifically ayahuasca and mushrooms. And I do journeys a lot with mushrooms and some a little bit with ayahuasca. And the mushrooms actually showed me how to create a healing and coaching program that helped people not just heal generational trauma, but heal their soul fractals. So soul fractal reclamation. So a soul fractal is a part of you that you disowned earlier in your life, likely in childhood, but not just only childhood. And it's a part of you that you believed wasn't acceptable in the world, was not of value, maybe because society deems it invaluable, or maybe your parents told you it's no good. And or it could be just parts of you that experienced deep levels of trauma or pain. And as a kid, you didn't know how to process it. You didn't know how to cope with it. And so the only way you knew what to do is to like pretend it didn't exist. And so you disown it or discard it into your past, hoping it stays in the past. But if there's anything that I've learned is that the past will always outrun your present self at the most inopportune times to sabotage your next greatest thing. And so soul fractal healing is so important, not just to prevent or stop sabotaging behaviors that you're trying to consciously move beyond, because it's the subconscious that's taking over and is much more powerful than your conscious mind usually until you really start reprogramming it. But it's also important because hidden within your soul fractals are parts of you that hold some of your greatest passion and your most powerful gifts. And so when we disown these parts of ourselves, we actually disown the parts of us that are meant for our greatest destiny. And that's because the parts of us that usually get rejected in our earlier lives are the parts of us that are needed most. And it's our job to learn how to reclaim them, love them back in, and then start gifting them back out to the world. And so the reason why so many people don't know what their purpose is, or don't know what their passions are, or don't know how to tap into their passions, or don't even know what makes them happy, is because of these soul fractals that are lost. And you need to bring those back in. And so that is all part of a program that I call the Forbidden Journey. And I have group coaching with that. I have one-to-one, and I do retreats, which in fact I'm doing one in 2 weeks from now on that. So this is like a culmination of all the healing techniques I've learned over the last 45 years or so, not 45 years, 25 years or so. And I've taken all the things that I know work and are the most efficient and have compiled them through what plant medicine showed me and organized them all into this beautiful program.
That sounds absolutely wonderful. Something I experience in my own life. So everything that you say is speaking to me. I know there's even like more healing to be done on my journey, but when you are talking about, you know, childhood and repressed things and things that you might be meant for, I always think that when it comes back to the podcast and creating this content online, because I was an only child, so I was praised for being quiet and shy and adult-like and never acting out or sharing anything, to the point that like I never talked in class. I was never a loud kid, always like the quietest one in the room. And then,
oh girl, your joy button needs to be pushed.
I know. And then now it turned into, well, now I'm creating content for all of these people to listen to every single week and sharing all this information on YouTube, like totally went the other direction. And part of that was like a big healing journey that was like, I don't need to be the shy, quiet kid all the time.
No. Yeah. And by the way, I love the title of your podcast.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
So I do understand that. And that was like, that was a relatively easy one for me, I would say. And I would say that there's more stuff that I have not confronted yet. Do you feel like you get a lot of feedback from people that a lot of things are pretty traumatic that come up? Or do you have, you know, a lot more like easier cases like mine?
Oh, it ranges. It's from like pretty standard to like, whoa, that's extreme. So, you know, and I think one of the reasons why is because like I said at the beginning, I'm very open and raw with my audience. My podcast has been running for almost 7 years and my YouTube channel even longer. And back in, I think it was 2019, 2019, late 2019, I started a series called Raw and Real. And
Nicole is about to talk about some trauma from her childhood that might be triggering for some listeners. So be sure to check the show notes to see if you want to listen. It's a very gentle discussion ahead, but just in case. And if not, then skip ahead 5 minutes.
At that time, memories of being sexually abused when I was 5 or 6 years old started to surface. And before they started to surface, I had no idea that I had been even remotely close to being sexually abused. And so it was a really scary process that I had someone guiding me through. Because it's never anything you should try to do on your own. And I decided to show my audience in real time what healing something like that magnitude looks like. And so I took them through the whole process. And it was crazy because there was a part of me that's like, oh, Nicole, should you do this? Because, you know, like, do you really want to bring people into, is that responsible to bring people into the real big mess of it when you haven't even figured it out yourself? But I was like, no, like, this is the journey. None of us really know. It's messy. It's uncomfortable. It's all over the place. It's nonlinear. And I think what people really need is to see the truth of what healing looks like, because so often we hear the story after the fact and we see the person, what it looks like on the other side. And that's great, but it's really hard sometimes when you're going through it to say, oh, did they have to really go through this? Or what does it even really look like? Because it can be sometimes hard to really connect to if it's not really shown. And so I kind of brought them through that. And it was really interesting because I was able to move through it rather quickly, like maybe 4 months max. And I had an incredible healing with it. What came out of that, though, is so many people started reaching out to me about them remembering their childhood sex trauma. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize this was, I mean, I knew it was prevalent, but it was just so prevalent. And what happened is people started asking me to help them go through their own healing. And so through that, I really built a strong, authentic connection to the people that really needed my help in whatever way they were choosing to interact with me. And so in a way, my pain certainly became my purpose, and I was able to channel all of the darkness that I had held within me for almost 40 years and turn it into something that could transcend that and help others transcend their pain and maybe turn it into more of their purpose. So I think that, you know, that's an important part of the journey. And I think that's why, going back to what you asked, is why I have this range, is because I've dealt with some pretty extreme cases, with, well, so I would say somewhat extreme. I think child sex abuse is pretty extreme. But I have clients who've experienced it on way more extreme levels than I have. And so it, I think it's just, I've got the tools. So I think that's why I attract those people.
That's really brave of you to share that entire journey, because there's not a lot of resources out there for people, because there's a lot of shame around that topic, mm-hmm. but it shouldn't be your shame.
No. You know,
it's nice that there's a community for people to go to who do need help in that, because you don't see that as often.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely.
It's Which is so unfortunate important. Because that's an area that you would need all of the support in the world. So I really appreciate you sharing that and documenting your journey in the way that you did.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And that, I know that that is a part two of your teachings, is about reconnecting with that inner child. So I just wanted to ask for people who maybe don't have that trauma and aren't coming from a place for that, mm-hmm. would there still be something for them to reconnect with their
gosh.
Inner child, even if their inner child was kind of happy?
Oh, yeah. So I designed an inner child course that actually takes you through the healing through every chakra. And so, you know, it can range. Like, if look, if you don't have the partner that you want, if you're struggling to use your voice, if you're struggling to find your worth, if you feel really stuck, if you carry a lot of fears and certain things, like, trust me, inner child work is a great place to start with all of that. It's not like you need, and I think this is because the word trauma definitely carries a much heavier connotation than just pain. And so there's different varying levels of trauma. And all trauma really is pain stored in your body. So if you experience any kind of pain, which could be just rejection, humiliation, shame, guilt, blame, fears, like anything from your childhood. I mean, I think we all at some point felt rejected at some point, and that will definitely affect your self-worth. That would cause you to have abandonment issues, and, you know, and that will change the way you interact with anyone, not just a romantic partner, but like your friendships, and it'll create codependency. And are you willing to really even go into your feelings? Do you know how to express your emotions verbally? So many people get stuck and fumble over their words. They don't even know what to say. I used to be the exact same way. I used to be a mute. My boyfriends in the past were so frustrated with me because I was made fun of in my family, which at the time no one really thought it was that serious, but it really affected me in how, like, they would all make fun of me if I cried. I'm a Cancer ascendant, so, you know, I cried a lot, and I could just cry on the dime. And I just wish I could. I wish I could stop it, but I couldn't stop the tears. And I would get made fun of, oh, there's Nicole crying again, and like making fun of me. And so I got really shamed into having to hide my emotions. And I realized, oh, people just want me to be the strong one. And so then I ended up just being the strong one all the time and being everyone's rock and never showing any emotion, never showing any weakness. And fast forward into my late 30s, you know, my sister and I had a major falling out. And when we finally, after months, decided to sit down with one another after not talking, you know, I broke down and cried in front of her and expressed something. And she's like, oh my gosh, she's like, thank you so much for like being so authentic and crying in front of me. She goes, because it's the first time I felt connected to you. And I was like, what? And she's like, I just never have been able to connect with you or relate to you because I just feel like you've always got it together. And so being able to learn how to express my emotions without the shame and honoring what I'm feeling and learning how to turn it into verbal words, because again, we were never allowed to share our emotions in my household without being made fun of or getting yelled at. it was hard to find the words, but it took time and I persisted with it. And what I realized is, oh, wow, my relationships are suffering, all relationships, because no one can relate to me if I'm constantly like the person who has it all together on the outside. Meanwhile, inside, I'm a crumbling mess.
And speaking of having it all together, it's sort of nice to hear you chat about things that came up for you later in life. Like you still, we don't, none of us still like have it all together. It doesn't matter when
No,
you're going
no.
through this journey, there's still going to be things that come up.
Oh, I'm still a mess in certain areas, and I'm sure I will continue to be into my 60s and 70s, God willing. Here's the thing. There's stuff that's so deep, we can't access it until we move through certain layers, right? And so, we're human. We're human, and we're always going to find more things. But that's part of this beautiful journey, is to recognize that it's not about becoming some perfect being of light or of healing. It's just about being you. And what does that you really look like and walk like on this planet and interact with other people? And that will always improve your quality of life as you go deeper and deeper.
I would love to ask you if you have any practices that you do regularly. I'm sure for you, creating the content and running the courses and coaching people is a huge part of your life. But do you take any moments in the morning, evening to work on your spiritual side, your practices, anything you do on a semi-regular basis?
Oh, yeah. So, for the past, I want to say 5 months or so, 5 or 6 months, I've decided to really get back into my meditation routine. I used to be so deep. I used to meditate like 2 hours a day. But I don't have time to meditate for 2 hours a day. I just got way too much to do now. So because I love starting my morning early, and it's just like a mindset. If I get a lot done early, I just feel so good about myself. I feel productive. It's something about my mental health. Like I just, and then I can just enjoy like later parts of my day. So anyway, I get up usually around 4:45 in the morning. Not every morning, but almost every morning, like during the weekdays. And I will get on my meditation cushion, and I will meditate for at least 30 minutes. And my meditations have evolved a lot over the decades. And right now I'm currently in my how do I call it? I'm currently in my feminine pleasure, Kundalini, loving it kind of energy of when I'm meditating, I'm not still. I'm kind of dancing in my seated position on my meditation cushion, and my arms and hands start moving, and I know that they're actually communicating now with other dimensions and calling in energies that I'm trying to manifest. And so I listen to really kind of upbeat, fun, more like kind of plant medicine journey kind of music. And it like is one of my favorite moments of the day. When I'm finished there, I'm like, gosh, I love this. I love this. I get it to the point where every cell in my body is smiling, and I'm so in love with the day. So that, by that time, I'm like ready to go to the gym, or maybe I'm getting on a call with a client really early, or whatever it might be. But that's something. And then the other thing that I've introduced in the last year or so is cacao. So I do like little mini, I don't do like a full ceremonial dose every day, but I do like a daily dose. And I just use it for my time to do gratitude and to just be in peace and be grateful and just connect with the medicine that's opening my heart. And so I just allow my heart to feel and just tune into what my emotions are and just kind of take a heart check on like where I am.
That was an excellent reminder for me because I was on a cacao train for a long time and I
Oh,
hadn't done it in months.
yeah.
And now I was like, wait, why did I stop?
What
Why?
was your favorite? What was your
What
favorite thing about using the cacao?
It's just such a, it takes time to prepare and be in the moment. And usually I'm like a press a button on the coffee type of person. And just taking a few minutes for myself and to like check in with feelings and emotions and universe and whatever is going on was such a nice aspect of my day that I don't normally partake in. Because I know a lot of people have that with like with their coffee ritual as well. And I just don't have one of those. And it was like forcing me to slow down and do something hands-on in actually creating the drink and then spending time with it. That was like brilliant. And now I'm thinking back, like, why did I stop? I don't remember. Ran out. I think that's why.
I know. Isn't that crazy how we do that? Like sometimes like the best parts of our day just slip away and they get lost in the shuffle. And it was like, why did I? Like, it's just, yeah, sometimes we prioritize the wrong things.
We do. That was a great reminder. And I love your current version of meditation because I think that might open up doorways for a lot of people who are in the mindset that meditation can only be one way and you must be very still and not thinking of anything.
Yeah, no, screw that. I'm like, no, I want to be fun. I want to be in that fun pleasure. So one of the things that the plant like mushrooms did for me is it opened up, it activated my Kundalini for a second time. The first time happened in my early 30s during just a regular kind of Vipassana type meditation. But this, my second one happened during a plant like journey with mushrooms. And I was just like, wow. Like, I remember when I was like eating stuff on my journey, and I was like, the food tastes amazing. Oh my God, I'm so in love with my life. I'm so in love with this room. I'm so in love. Like, I felt in love with everything. And I'm like, why don't I feel this way every day? And so I started to channel that energy more, and I started to tailor my meditations to be in that space because I've already done years and years and years, if not decades, of like the stillness and the peace and all that. And I'm like, you know, to be quite honest, I'm bored of it. And so I'm like, no, I want to have fun. I want to start my day off with the pleasure principle. I want to start my day off with my inner child dancing on the inside. I want to start the day off with my goddess frequencies all lit up. Like, that's what I want my meditation to be all about right now. So yeah, so that's where I'm at.
I think that's going to resonate with a lot of people because I get that question a lot. Like I can't focus. I can't sit that long. You don't have to.
No. You don't. You can just be in the energy. Sometimes when you just dance your way into the energy, and when I say dance, I just mean like you move your hips, your body, whatever, you'll eventually hit a frequency and you'll just be so in the flow, and like then you're connected, right? So it's one way to connect. You don't have to be still.
And I appreciate that, especially as a fellow lover of the mornings and, and that idea of like, if I get more done in the morning, like the rest of my day just feels better. And mm-hmm. If I went the other way and did this sort of quiet, peaceful meditation in the morning, that would sort of not set up the right tone that I'm looking for my day. Like it would calm me to a point where I would be lazy.
Oh my God. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you and your audience one of my favorite songs that I listen to. I listen to it on repeat sometimes. This song will get you all dancing. It'll get you. Ooh. Sometimes I will listen to this at the gym on my, like if I'm on the elliptical or I'm doing like an intense workout and it sounds crazy. It's like, well, why are you listening to that? No, I'm telling you, there's something about the frequency of it. Like I just like get in this groove and like every like part of me is just like, yes, let's just do it. Okay. So it's called, the song's called Namaste and it's by Wolfgang Ohmer, which is spelled Ohmer, and Clara Soras, Sorace. So I have it on my Spotify playlist. And so that song, if that doesn't get you, okay, that one's great. And then here's the other one. This is actually the one that really gets me moving. Pursuit of the Awakening by Kevin Wren, Wrenn.
All right, I just wrote both of those down and I'm going to find them immediately.
No, I want your whole audience to go and have a good time meditating. Like go love it up, get in your goddess frequency or for all the guys out there, you know, your god frequency, you know, and just live it, love it, do it.
I appreciate that. And Nicole, before we wrap up, do you have any last things that you'd like to say to the audience or anything that we did not touch on?
No, I think the only thing is, if anyone is interested, if you're feeling really called to this, if you want like some massive healing transformation, because I don't know, it sounds like you're into astrology.
Yes.
Am I correct? Yeah.
Love.
Okay. So, you know, we've got some massive like transits coming up with the Jupiter Uranus conjunction, the Scorpio full moon. You know, plus we've got this whole 10 days of the palindrome numbers at the end of April. So I have my retreat in Breckenridge, Colorado on the 24th of April, and it's 3 nights, 3 days, all inclusive. And in that we do some plant medicine and journeys, and we basically do breath work, we do cacao, we go into your soul fractal healing. Where I think I'm going to also do some generational stuff in there this time. And the healing that comes through, like the space that is created from everyone there, and what I start to do, because I use my hands to start interacting with the different dimensions to open up higher frequencies of healing into the space. But literally miracles happened last time. Someone had their hearing in their left ear restored after 19 years of almost not being able to hear anything at all out of it. And that was immediately, like the next day after the journey. And then another person, as soon as she got into her car to drive home back to Texas, she put her glasses on and she couldn't see the road. She couldn't see. And she's like, oh my God. And so she took her glasses off and she could see so much better. And she realized, oh my God, my vision's changed. So she made an appointment with her doctor right away, her eye doctor, and her eye doctor was gobsmacked. She's like, your vision has dramatically improved. She goes, we have to change your entire prescription. And so like there were literal physical miracles happening on that journey. And on top of like people were time traveling, going through like portals and like communicating with other beings. Like it was a lot of fun. It was like super cool. So if any of your audience is interested in coming, I have a couple spots left for the retreat. And I promise you, if you are looking for a breakthrough, which that Jupiter Uranus conjunction is all about, and you're looking for the truth, you're going to find it. You're going to find it there.
Well, thanks you for sharing. And I will definitely have everything linked in the show notes, listeners, as always, over at witchwednesdays.com. And you can see them if you are listening on Spotify. So I will have everything linked so you can go check out with the retreat, the podcast, the courses, the meditations, everything that Nicole has to offer. And Nicole, thank you so much for being here today and having such a fun chat.
No, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And listeners, that's everything that I have for you this week. I will see you all next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need even more witchcraft in your life? Subscribe to Witch Wednesdays on Patreon and YouTube for all types of exclusive bonus content like spells, recipes, book reviews, and more, or even order personalized tarot readings and spells. Be sure to follow on Instagram at Witch Wednesdays Podcast. And you can find all these links and more at witchwednesdays.com. Never lose. Come on, baby, you should take.